Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For blessed are you, called ones of God, on this All Saints' Day. Our theme this morning is the Holy One and the Holy Ones of God. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, when you hear the word saints, what comes to mind? A person who has lived an outstanding holy life? A person who did wonderful works all their life? Maybe they even worked a miracle? Maybe you think of an exceptionally religious person. Maybe a great theologian, or a pastor or teacher. But a majority of Americans, when they hear the word saints, they think of that football team down there in New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints. Kind of gives you a taste of where our society is today, isn't it? As Lutherans, though, we look to the saints as models of faith and of Christian living. Or we should, but we should be very careful as we do this. We should be careful not to ascribe to the saints who have gone before us more than we should. Not one of them, dear ones, not a one of them merited God's grace by what they did in this life. The faith that they lived and the faith that they reflected to you and to me was all because of God's grace and because of their Lord's favor. It is right and proper that this day, that we remember the saints of Zion, those whom our Lord has called to His bosom this past year. He has called them into rest. No more will they be tempted. No more will they feel heat or cold. No more will they know sin. A wonderful, gifted woman. A woman of great faith who I spent many, many hours on the phone with. Mary Elizabeth. A beautiful little girl whom our Lord called to Himself after only 1 year of life. Abigail Ann. These two saints, they are resting right now. They are asleep in their Lord Jesus Christ, thanks be to God. And they rest because of His grace and His mercy and His love for them. You know, there is only one, dear ones, there is only one who has earned the title of saint or a holy one of God. He is the Son of the living God who came to live among us in the flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Beatitudes spoken of Him today are about Him, and the Beatitudes that are spoken by Him are for you. Sadly, today, many will stand in their pulpits or stand on their stage or wherever they may stand, and they'll teach these Beatitudes as rules as Christian living. That you can do these great beatitudes if you have enough faith, if you're as devout as they are. Sadly, many will teach today that if you really, really try hard, you can live the beatitudes. Sadly, many will teach today that Jesus spoke these words, that's true, but they make His comforting gospel by injecting their human reason into the Holy Gospel. And they take our Lord's words and they twist them and they mangle them and they turn them into crushing law. Thousands will go home today worried. Worried because they cannot fulfill the Beatitudes and they know it in their heart. Shame on those who take the Gospel of our Lord Jesus and turn it into a horrible law. Yes, the Gospels of the Beatitude. The Beatitudes, dear ones, are pure gospel. just as you will come here shortly, and you will see and taste and partake of pure gospel. So let's cover these Gospels of the Beatitude. Let's take a closer look at exactly what Jesus is saying about himself for your benefit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who is the one who is poor in spirit? He is the one who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and being found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is the one for whom you and for your salvation cried out in poverty. He cried out in poverty of spirit, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." It is he who cried this out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was the one who was poor in spirit. And because he is poor in spirit, you will receive a blessing. Blessed are those who mourn. Who has ever mourned like Jesus? Not over his own troubles, oh no, but over the unbelief of his people then and the unbelief of his people today. Jesus came. He came to comfort his people as their Savior. He tells us, "Despised and rejected by men," writes Isaiah, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Jesus grieved. There's no doubt about it. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus grieves. Jesus mourns over the loss of a sinner. And because he grieves, you will be blessed. Blessed are the meek. Who is the meek one, the humble one, who came to his people, humble and riding on a donkey? The one who said of himself, "I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and in me you will find rest for your souls." The humble one of God, your Savior, kept silent before his accusers, those who mocked him and cruelly treated him, who crowned him with thorns and scourged him, and then finally nailed him to a cross. He laid his life down for the many. Blessed are the humble. Blessed is the humble one, for you will be blessed. Blessed are the merciful. Who is the merciful one like Jesus, who is so dedicated to mercy that he was willing to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect so that he might become your merciful high priest? Jesus healed. Jesus healed all who came to him. He did not forbid anyone. He forgave all those who called upon his name. He forgave them in faith. Even from the cross, yes, even from the cross, he cried out to his Father to have mercy not for himself, but for you. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is the merciful, and you will be blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. Who has been pure in heart? So pure in heart that even when he was tempted by the devil and by the Pharisees and by evil men over and over and relentlessly over again, he remained without sin. Not for himself, but for you. And who out of love for you allowed himself, even though he knew no sin, to become sin for each and every one of you. He himself is our peace through the cross. And because Jesus is the peacemaker, you will be blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Who has endured persecution? The one who is perfectly righteous, yet condemned and crucified. Because he is righteous, he was and is and always will be hated by the world and the target of its threats, of its hatred, and of its damnable lies. Jesus is the one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake, so that you will be blessed. All the blessings of the Beatitudes, dear ones, belong to Jesus. And so then, to each and every one of you, each and every one of you who are united with him in faith. The Beatitudes, dear ones, are not if-then. They are not if-then statements of condemning law, which millions will hear today. No, no, they're pure, sweet gospel of both and. Even as you now suffer with Jesus, you are now sharing in his glory. To the believer in Jesus Christ, to his children here gathered, the kingdom of heaven, the comfort of salvation, the inheritance of the earth, the fullness of righteousness, the mercy of the Father, the right to see God face to face, the right to be called his son or daughter. These are yours. These are the blessings that he has won for each and every one of you. Therefore, repent of your sin. Repent, fall to your knees, confess your sins, and he, the faithful one, will forgive you of all your sins, and you will be blessed. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus says, since you are now one with him, one with the Holy One of God, through the waters of holy baptism. And that's why the font is here, front and center today. Dear ones, here is where you were saved. Here is where the Beatitudes encompassed you and washed you and blessed you. It is by the work of God that you are his son and daughter. By the work of no other are you saved. Because of Jesus, because of him fulfilling the Beatitudes for you, you have all the blessings of them. And not only that, but he is present here this morning. Here present in the body and blood of the Lamb who has taken away all your sins, completely washed them away, and they are no more. Now you have been given. You have been given the same title as Jesus, if you will, saints, holy ones of God, by the work and for the sake and merit of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ, the one true and holy one of God, has proven himself. And by what he has done, he has shown that he is the Holy One, the very Son of God, who came to do exactly what his Father sent him to do. And there were no questions. There were no excuses. Jesus willingly laid down his life. He willingly laid down his life. No one took his life from him. He willingly laid it down so that you will be blessed. By grace through faith, he has made each and every one of you holy saints of God. This is the work that Jesus has done. It is not the work that you have done. It is not the work that I have done. It is the work that your Lord and Savior does right now. From Revelation this morning, we heard and we see and we hear how your loved ones are described. There are not only a few saints before the throne of God. No, no, what do you hear? There is a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and tribe and people and language. They are saints because they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus has removed all their sins through the washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit in their baptism. They are clothed with Jesus' robe of righteousness and holiness, dressed in clean, white robes. They dwell in the presence of God forever and ever, because Jesus has won for them His eternal blessings and His perfect peace. They come out of the great tribulation, and they have been given the victory. They have been given the victory, and in their hands they hold palm branches, for they are proclaiming the victory of the Lamb, and they are in the presence of their Lord forever, and they are rejoicing in the great victory parade. And you and I will be there one day. Thanks be to Jesus. Yet here, right now, dear ones, dear saints of God, right now, here is a picture of heaven. Soon, many of you will come to His altar, to His divine table, and you will partake of the supper of the Lamb, the foretaste of the feast to come. Here, right now, the Holy Christian Church is where your sins are daily and richly forgiven, where you are enlightened with eternal gifts and sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you worship right now in spirit and in truth. You worship as you hear the truth of God's law, that you cannot save yourselves, and the sweetness of His gospel, that Jesus blesses you because He has died for your sins, and He has taken away all your sins, and He resurrected on the third day has guaranteed to you that you too will live with Him in His kingdom and be blessed forever and ever. Right now, today, present are the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Dear ones, as you come here, here present are your loved ones. They are completing the circle, and in the center is the Lamb. In the center is their victorious Lamb and your victorious Lamb, the King of the universe. He is present, and He is here present not to be served, but to serve you. Maybe you don't feel like a saint right now, and I certainly understand that. But Jesus says you are. And since Jesus says you are a saint, you are a saint. And because of His grace, His mercy, His love, and the work of your King here today, He proclaims that through faith, you are holy ones of God. So as we now conclude, rejoice, dear brothers and sisters. Yes, rejoice. Rejoice that you are persecuted. Rejoice that you are hated. Rejoice that people speak all kinds of lies about you, for they speak the same of your Lord and Savior. And even though they lie, they don't know the truth, because He is the truth, and they don't know Him, as John told us this morning in his first epistle. But you know Him. And because you know Him, you can rejoice, and you know that you will live with Him forever and ever. So therefore, right now I'm looking at saints. I often find myself looking at saints who have gone before us. Quite often I find myself looking over here where Fred and Bill sat. Quite often I find myself looking over here where Dolores sat. Quite often I find myself looking back there where little Abby was held, and back there where little Elizabeth was held. They have gone before us. They have proven themselves faithful And rather, it is the Holy Spirit has proven that they are faithful. And in their faith, they rest. They are in the house where they once joined themselves and where they will join themselves with us, as we are now present in the house where they once were with us, praising the Lord, receiving His body and blood, being forgiven of all of their sins. What a beautiful vision I see right now, dear ones. A beautiful vision of the saints of God. Forgiven. Each of you forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to Jesus. And in His name, amen. Please rise. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.